Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Everyone, happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode of the What Fulfills You podcast. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's episode, I'm bringing on a lovely guest, and we've recorded here in NYC. She is also a fellow NYC-based entrepreneur and content creator, Kira Jones. She is the founder of Cacti Wellness. And a little bit more about her background, she started a blog and an anonymous Instagram about wellness and productivity hacks while working in sales at Equinox in LA. When the pandemic started, she decided to take her passion project full-time and fulfill the growing need for virtual attainable wellness content. In 2021, she launched Cacti Wellness, a productive wellness platform focused on helping ambitious women take care of business while taking care of themselves. Kira is also a content creator on Instagram and TikTok, where she shares daily videos on topics spanning lifestyle, wellness, business, and travel. So a little bit more about Cacti Wellness, which we dive into. And for those of you who are curious about trying the platform, everything is linked in the show notes, including a promo code you can try so you get your first month free. But Cacti Wellness is a productive wellness platform that provides efficient and effective workouts, meditations, and productivity workshops, all 20 minutes or less. Cacti is designed to help ambitious women take care of business while taking care of themselves by giving them tools to manage their time so that in turn they can commit to consistent wellness practices and feel better in their daily lives. In addition to the mobile app and website, Cacti Wellness hosts pop-up wellness events across the country in partnership with top hotels, activewear brands, and CPG brands. So for the conversation, we talked a little bit about everything, as I typically do with my guests. And what I love about Kira is that specifically on her career journey, I think it is very relatable in the sense that many of you who are listening, whether you are kind of figuring out your career path right now, you're in your mid-20s, or you're listening, you've recently graduated college and just trying to map out what direction you're going in the first place. I love that Kira touched on that in this conversation, and it really goes to show that anything can happen, and it takes a lot of time and discipline and effort, of course, but there's no reason that you're not able to. And I really love that theme in this episode. And overall, I know we touched on a lot of helpful topics that many of you guys love listening to. So with that being said, let's welcome Kira to the podcast. Kira, thank you for coming on the show.
Happy to be here.
I'm so excited to talk about a lot of things, as I shared with you. I think the one thing what we will circle back on is, I think, your relationship and being married. And I feel like, I'm guessing correctly, like you're mid-late 20s?
Yeah, 27.
Okay. So I feel like, as you probably have seen too, a lot of girls in New York, especially big cities, in their 20s, there is a struggle with dating and kind of figuring out who's the right person, if this is a long-term fit, and then also the career and everything like that. So I feel like you, of course, being on the other side of that, have an idea. But let's start with like your career journey. I saw that you worked at Equinox for a little bit, and I feel like that very much ties into your wellness-oriented sphere. Can you share a little bit of that journey and how it came from Equinox to a little bit PR and marketing, and then now, you know, having your own brand?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so when I was in college, I went to Equinox for a class that was like part of an event with my sorority or something like that. I got introduced to it and just like being there for another event.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this place is amazing. I had just gotten into fitness. I like didn't grow up super into that.
Yeah.
I didn't play sports or anything. So I wasn't like training as a high schooler.
Yeah.
And so I loved it, joined for like a free week, and then started actually going as like a member.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out if you work front desk, you get your membership comped. So I was like, oh, I need to do that. Cause I'm like at this point 19, like have
right.
no money.
Right.
So started working front desk. This was when I was living in Chicago.
Okay.
And then when I graduated, I asked if I could take like a promotion basically, but take it in LA because I was like, I really want to move to LA.
Okay.
So they were great, helped me get that job. And then I started, in sales. So I was just selling memberships. Mm-hmm. That was my first like year and a half out of college. Okay. And I loved it. It was like the perfect job out of college. It's sales. You're making like pretty good money for entry level job. I was mm-hmm. around super awesome people, made so many friends, met my husband through like working at that job. And then I just eventually got kind of bored, I guess, of like the sales cycle, especially right. there. It was like very, every 30 days, you just like reset kind of the same thing every single month. Yeah. Didn't feel very creative. And I was like, I need to do something else, but I knew I wanted to stay in the wellness space. Mm-hmm. And my educational background is in PR marketing. So I just kind of started telling everyone, like I left that job with nothing lined up, but I was telling everyone like, I can do social media. I can like build you a website. Like I can kind of like consult on marketing things and started slowly building like a freelance base through that. And then in the back of my mind, I knew I wanted to like have my own company. So I was kind of blogging on this like productive wellness topic, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. And then COVID happened, a bunch of my clients paused. And I was like, well, but you know, my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, and I were living together, and he was like, I mean, are you really gonna go try to get another job? Like everyone's getting laid off. Like, you know, it's gonna be hard to find a job right now. Right. Like you've already been doing this kind of side hustle, like this is a good time to take it full time. And there was just like nothing really else, no other, you know, options. I kind of couldn't like talk myself out of it. Right. So that's when I started doing Cacti full time.
Okay. How did you get into freelancing and then getting your first few clients? I feel like that's something I get asked a lot just with entrepreneurship as a whole, with going from having a full-time job and then jumping into actually learning how to make those dollars on your own and having maybe retainer clients or projects that actually pay the bills. How did you get towards that portion?
So it was all just about people I already knew, especially at the beginning. And then I started getting like kind of connected to other people as well. Mm-hmm. I used to be an intern at a PR firm when I was in college, and she actually had moved to San Diego. So we were both on the West Coast. And so I reached out to her right when I left, and I knew she had like some interns and, you know, a couple of team members. And I was like, do you need any help? Like I'm kind of, and she's like, oh my God, actually, yes. Yeah. I already knew her business. I knew her really well. Right. She's like a good friend. So she was like, yeah, I do. So I started doing like hourly work there.
Right.
And that's the thing about freelancing. There's like no structure. So I kind of just like went at that point with like, I didn't really have my own packages. I kind of just saw what people needed. And then we would come up with a solution based on their needs. So for her, I was hourly. I think at one point we were doing like retainer just or like hitting a maximum number of hours. And then aside from that, I was just telling people like I, you know, a lot of my friends were real estate agents. I'm like, you guys need like a personal brand, a social presence.
Right.
So that was more retainer based. And I would just like do their social, come to showings and take photos. At the beginning, I feel like I was not charging very much at all. Like it was very just like I need to like build my portfolio, piece things together, and then would raise rates as time went on. But I only really did that for freelancing for like a year total. So it was kind of like I think once I hit a point where I had like a stable amount of clients and just kind of like held that workload for a while.
Right.
But yeah, you just have to tell everyone that you like can do this and have these services, and either they'll need help or they'll know someone that needs help, like really just tapping on your own network. And it is kind of awkward, but it pays off eventually.
Yeah. How did you transition from that to Cacti Wellness then? And actually, I think maybe even especially at that time, if this is like close to pandemic era, which I feel like obviously lasted for, you know, 2-3 years, a good bunch, right? How did you go from, okay, doing this to figuring out how to make Cacti Wellness into a brand and a profitable business?
Yeah. Okay. So Cacti Wellness ultimately is like, it's productive wellness is what we call it. So we are at the intersection of hustle culture and self-care. It's like, how can we make these things work together? Because it's obviously you need to be taking care of yourself, but also we can't go so far away from like actually getting work done and performing well. And it's really made for like a high performing woman. Mm-hmm. And I've met so many amazing people through Equinox actually. And that's kind of what inspired me. I'm like, these people are taking such good care of themselves,
right?
But they're also like crushing it at work. And these things are really correlated.
Right.
So at first it was a blog and I was doing that while I was freelancing.
Okay.
And then I was like kind of playing with different business models, mm-hmm. like how am I going to monetize this eventually? And so I had started with this kind of like digital magazine. Mm. It was like actually like you could flip through it like a magazine. It wasn't just like a blog at that point. And I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll have like a subscription and release these monthly. It was, by the way, so much work. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this every month. Like it was like just a lot because it was like, you know, 40 pages and I was doing it all by myself. It wasn't I had a team. So that quickly was like not going to be sustainable. But when COVID happened and I started to get this pause, it was kind of the era of like taking all these online videos and like people doing online workouts. And so I was like, okay, I need to just like put this into video content and get it behind some sort of like light paywall.
Right.
And I got my training certification because I was like, already into fitness, but I was like, I need to have quality control and it be kind of all consistent. So then I started making the workouts. And at first, I'm trying to think, I think at first it was like completely free and we were just trying to get emails and a customer base that way. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up partnering with a team to help develop the actual app. So it wasn't just on the website. And at that point we put up like an actual paywall with a trial and kind of more of a true model.
Yeah.
So that's how it got all set up. And I mean, it ebbs and flows. Like it was at the time I didn't really have any social following.
Okay.
So I had to market it in like, I had to get very creative with marketing.
Right.
And I was not making like a big income. It was definitely like a net loss at the beginning.
Okay.
So, I was just kind of like taking the chance on it while I could. But I think that, you know, that's kind of a misconception. Like you think you're going to have this great product and immediately turn a profit. And it's just, it can be so not like that.
Right, right.
So,
I was actually going to ask you too, like at what point, because I wasn't sure if you already had a social following when you first started it or if it progressed as you were building the brand. How did you start to combine the two and actually dive into, you know, being a content creator and kind of a wellness influencer on top of building the brand?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had been creating content.
Okay.
And acting as if I was a content creator.
Right.
I mean, I was a content creator, but I had like 2,000 Instagram followers. Okay. So it was a pretty small account. At first, it was anonymous and just Cacti Wellness.
Okay.
Then eventually I put my name behind it and separated the two because I had heard that, you know, having your face behind it is helpful. And I found that to be true.
Yeah.
So that was how it started. And then I essentially began to like, you know, continue to grow that. But then I launched the business at that like 2000 mark.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2021, the spring. And it didn't happen until like fall, winter that I started to really consistently be posting reels. And I did this reel challenge with myself where I was like, I'm going to post one for every day of December.
Oh, wow.
And
this is like December 2021.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So probably like.
That's a good time to be posting reels too.
Yeah, it worked well. Yeah. I mean, it was probably 9 months after I had launched the app.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm just kind of like surviving, like trying to figure out the next step. I think at that point, I was still doing like a couple of one-off projects freelance just to like fill in income.
Totally.
But then in the winter, I had started doing that reel challenge for myself. And at this point, too, reels were pretty new. So Instagram was like heavily pushing them.
Right.
And the first 28 days, nothing was really happening, like 200, 300 views. But I kept doing it. And I remember sitting with my husband and being like, one of these just needs to pop. Like, I just need one to pop to like make me feel like this was worth it.
Yeah.
And a couple days later, one went at the time like super viral for me. Yeah. It was like a couple hundred thousand.
I mean, that's still a lot though.
It is for sure. And at that point too, it was like nothing I'd ever experienced, like wild. And I gained, I think, like 5,000 followers overnight from that. So that was like my first taste of like, wow, if you can kind of like make content that resonates and then actually gets an audience behind it, you can really start to grow. And then, over the last almost 3 years, I've grown, like 2.5 years, I've grown 80,000 followers since then. So it's just kind of been like consistent growth, but definitely through reels.
Yeah. Speaking on growth as a content creator, how did you like in those days where you're not getting, you know, traction yet, right? You're getting a couple hundred views and then that one video gets a couple hundred thousand, right? How did you push through that in, I think, on the mental level of, okay, this is going, there's going to be some return on this. And even like over the past year and a half then, like as you progress from 10K to 20K and then like now reaching over 80K followers, like what was that process like? Like, do you remember times where you're like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to reach this number because the growth is much harder compared to like 2021. And I feel like a lot of creators listening to this might have the same thought process.
Yeah, honestly, I think now that I have seen some success, it actually is harder to stay consistent in some ways because it's like you get really demotivated if you have a really slow month. Mm-hmm. You're like, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing the exact same thing I'm always doing, or even I'm doing the same thing and trying new things and nothing's picking up like it used to.
Right.
At that point, I think the challenge really helped because I knew I was going to continue to create until that 31 days was over.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit lucky that something hit during that timeline. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have kept it going. Then I kept going for like two or three more months with every day a reel because was excited about the opportunity.
Yeah.
And now I still, I'd say like every other day is I'm posting at least, if not every day. But it definitely gets hard to stay motivated. I think that it's, you learn though, as time goes on, there is this ebb and flow and you'll have, you know, something will pop off again at some point, like continue to create things that are authentic. Things are resonating also. It just might not be on this huge mass scale.
Right.
So I think remembering that, like getting really in touch with people that are really loyal followers, fans of the brand, like people that I have these awesome connections and conversations with, that are so supportive, love to see the content, constantly telling me that. I'm like, it's for you. And then it's a great bonus if it's like reaching a larger audience.
Right.
But also sometimes you can have virality and then you're getting like a lot of people that maybe aren't that aligned following you. And it doesn't add up to like an exact return on business, a stronger community. Like follower count is not everything, but it is nice to obviously see your data like, you know, trending upward.
Yeah. At any point, did you think about like, okay, maybe like, for example, I think there's some people that are always considering going from like maybe full-time content creator, right? Or rather like what you did, which is expand into a brand. But the funny part is I like that you actually started the brand at roughly 2,000 followers. And then like you're growing on the flip side, right? Did you ever think about doing one or the other, or did anyone ever ask you about how you manage to do both at the same time? Like being, you know, okay, this is like the business side and this is like for the Kira's personal content and followers side, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think also I did kind of do it backwards.
Right, and I like that you shared that because most people I think with success stories are often on the other side. And then I think it's cool that you're sharing it from like the reverse way.
Yeah, I mean, I went into it wanting to build a business. Ultimately. Right. I also called it Cacti Wellness because I didn't want it to be forever tied to me. Like, eventually, like, maybe we'll sell. Maybe we'll bring more people on. Like, it just gives you the flexibility to kind of let the company evolve as its own entity without, like, tying it back to a specific person.
Yeah.
That being said, I think when you have a platform already and then you launch something, you get a little bit of immediate traction because you have this committed base. For me, it's like people start following me and they don't even necessarily know what Cacti is. So it's like this constant education I have to be doing. But I think, you know, if I love to create content and I get so many awesome opportunities because of my personal brand. But at the end of the day, I love like geeking out and building a business. And I think I would do that again and again, even if I didn't have social media. And the content piece, like my mom asked me too, she's like, did you see yourself doing this? And I'm like, no, but that's because I didn't know I could. Like, I didn't know I'd have the following. I didn't know if I would. So now it's such an integral part of the brand. And when it comes to paid partnerships or working with brands that I love, I always am trying to, like, tie everything 360 to the brand and to me. Like, either we'll have maybe content that I do as Kira, but then we'll have an event and have them, like, either sponsor the event or in the goodie bag or on the mat. And that, you know, sometimes even – people will be like in person and get to talk about the brand to whoever's coming. And that's so fun because it's a cool way to kind of integrate it in both categories. And then also, you know, from a financial side, it's obviously beneficial to have, be able to offer both.
And with like productivity wellness, I feel like it is rather kind of niche. You know, when I think about the wellness influencers I know in like the wellness space, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, maybe mindfulness and a lot of the approach on like holistic health and wellness. But I like that you're talking about how when you're at Equinox, you're observing there's a lot of high performers there, right? Especially high performing women who are there taking care of themselves, getting their workout in, and also performing that well in their career, mm-hmm. right? How did you find a way to niche down like that for Cacti Wellness and like actually target that audience?
I think I've always loved to read like people's daily routines. Since I was little, like mm-hmm. celebrities, I'm like, what are they doing every second of the day? Like, it's right. so fascinating to me what people do and their different habits. And sometimes mm-hmm. there's no trend at all. It's just like different people find different ways to make life work for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm so fascinated by those success stories. And I think especially as like I've, you know, grown in my own career, I've mm-hmm. learned like you really are in charge so much of what you're able to do. Possibilities are endless if you like allow yourself to look at it that way. Yeah. And so the niche kind of just came from my interests.
Okay.
But I will say it's like it's new. It's still new. Like right. I feel like the things, those items are correlated. People are starting, especially as we're coming back into offices for jobs and right. things like that. It's right. people are having to figure out how to integrate the two. Mm. But there's still an education piece there too, because I think like I'm saying a word that no one's like a term that people haven't really heard. Yeah. I believe it's going to be a huge industry and movement mm-hmm. because you just have to be able to like perform and work to live your life. But also wellness now as a culture and society, we just really have a bigger respect and understanding for it.
Right.
So I think that's what it is. And I think there's such like hustle culture went so far in one direction.
Right.
And then everyone recalibrated and is like, we can't do this. Like, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Need boundaries at work. And right. I'm like, that is great. But at the same time, I love to work and I want to be able to love that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. But still take care of myself and find, I hate the word balance. So I like, say that.
I'm the same way. I feel like we think similarly. Yeah.
It doesn't exist. So it's like silly to think, but I think there are different ways to make your priorities work for different people.
Right.
But identifying what those is like the first step.
Okay, so you wake up at 5 a.m. usually? Is 5?
Between like 5:30. Okay. Yeah.
Can you dive into your daily routine and how you find a way to both take care of yourself and also structure your day, especially as an entrepreneur and creator, in getting your priorities done?
Yeah, totally. So I think routine is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
By building such a strong routine over time, it makes it just the non-negotiables get done because I do them every day, mm-hmm. not because it's easy or I want to. Mm-hmm. For the morning, waking up early, the biggest thing I always say is like, it's as simple as you just have to go to bed at a decent hour so that you can wake up early.
Okay.
So figuring out ways, and I know sleep is really a challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm can usually fall asleep and stay asleep pretty well. Obviously, some weeks it's different.
Yeah.
But I think just like that standard timeline of like when you go to bed and when you wake up, keeping that consistent mm-hmm. is the biggest thing. You have to like teach your body when to be tired and when to be awake.
Yeah.
And then like not using your phone all night long. Mm. I put my phone in another room.
Yeah.
And if I do that as well. For whatever reason, I'm on it. Like before bed, I notice immediately my sleep sucks.
Oh,
like,
really?
You actually,
okay.
I can't fall asleep because you're so wound up. Yeah. Like I need it away for at least 30 minutes.
Okay.
I read on my Kindle. So like,
okay.
I still have some sort of like brain stimulation to wind down.
Right.
But it's relaxing. So that's like my biggest thing for getting up early. And then in the morning, I used to have this like 10-step routine. Now I'm like, get up.
Yeah.
Move. Like movement happens within an hour or so.
Okay.
Water, coffee. You know, eat some protein after I work out.
Right.
And I love the sauna. I've been saunaing like every single day.
Yeah.
But that's really like it in terms of non-negotiables.
I
definitely try to like spend some time breathing.
Yeah.
Do a little meditation, but it can be 5 minutes some days. It can mm-hmm. be 15. Just kind of depends.
Yeah.
Just like taking that time to really take care of myself for 2 hours in the morning. And then the day goes wherever it goes. Yeah. But I've grounded myself for a minute.
Mm.
That's what's like non-negotiable for me.
So what time do you actually start your workflow? I'm really curious as an entrepreneur because I tend to start, I wake up usually around 6 or 6:30, but I notice that I tend to really start flowing towards 10 a.m.
Okay.
And so I'm curious, like, how are you going? All right, 2 hours max in like your morning routine and your sauna time and your workout. and getting ready as a girl, especially.
Yeah.
Because it's different for guys, it's right? Like so my different. Boyfriend can wake up and like everything will be like done, breakfast, workout, because like all they do is like shower. They're not like getting ready or touching up their hair. You know what I mean? So like I'm actually curious, like girl to girl, what it's like for you.
Okay, so I wake up at 5:30.
Yeah.
Usually leave the house by 6:30 to okay. go work out. So I like take okay. it slow. I just I have my coffee. I'm not someone that won't check my phone. Like I'm okay. looking at my phone
right.
in the morning, checking right. my email. I mean, not immediately, but yeah. while I'm like drinking my coffee.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking at news or anything. Usually mm-hmm. don't really go on Instagram, but I'll look at my email, see my texts.
Yeah.
I go to bed early. So like
yeah.
friends were texting me at right. night and I missed it.
What time do you go to bed?
I get in. I probably put my phone away around 9.
Okay. All right.
Sleep
so
10.
You're early. Yeah, that makes yeah. sense. That makes
on
sense.
The early yeah. side. And then drink coffee, drink water, just slow. And then I go to the gym. And all of the workouts on our app, by the way, are under 20 minutes.
Okay.
So I truly only work out for like 20, 30 minutes.
Okay.
I'll do usually like 10, 15 on the treadmill and then some sort of flow depending on like what part of my body I want to work out that day.
Right.
And then I'll sauna. So that all takes like an hour. It's not a super long workout process.
Okay. Okay.
But I do it every day, which is like how I think it can continue to work and like maintain. And sometimes I'll take a class or something and that's longer, but most days it's like about an hour.
Okay.
Then I'll spend 30 minutes or so getting ready. So like shower, makeup. I try not to like get too sweaty.
Yeah. I was going to say like, that's actually a quick like 30. I mean, I say I'm like 45 minutes, but 30 minutes to like shower, makeup, and like actually be like ready to go. Like,
I'm pretty fast.
Oh, wow.
I have it down.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah. 30, maybe 45 on some days.
Okay.
But also my husband comes to the gym with me and he's like sitting there waiting. So I'm usually like rushing with the podcast. I know that feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So I get ready and then our gym is attached to our office or like our office space.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. We just will pop over there. And so I would say I usually am like, to answer your question, usually at work around like 8:30.
That's really good.
But I also am like doing Instagram. I mean, I know as a content creator, you know, I'm posting at like 7 a.m. sometimes too. So I'd say try to do computer stuff by like 8:30.
Wow.
And it's just, again, light. Like when you make time, you can kind of look at your calendar. I'm not like on a call at 8:30 a.m.
Right.
I'd say calls usually I'll start scheduling at like 9:30 earliest to give myself some time to like figure out what the day looks like.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I'm fascinated just because I think for entrepreneurs, I think something I struggled with in the beginning days was figuring out how to structure without being told what to do. Right. And I think, I don't know if it's more motivating for you if your partner is also waking up at the same time as you. I know I'm in a long distance relationship, but anytime we're together, he wakes up at 5, but like we'll go to the gym or go work out together at the same time, like 6 or 6:30. And so that's one of those, like, if I ever wanted to snooze, I can't.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, he's going to be like, I'm waiting for you. So I know that feeling when it's like, you know, your partner's waiting for you, whether it's like to go to the gym or like to go back, you know? And so I feel like that's my motivator when I'm a little slow, but I'm impressed that you can get ready and get on your computer and do everything by 8:30.
Yeah. That's like fast. I think also the great thing about having my own business is there's times where it's like, you know, between 1 and 4 p.m.
Right.
I'm doing whatever else. Like I'm not always, it's not, you know, necessarily an 8 to 5 situation. So I think also for me, it really, like, I have so much energy after I've just worked out, had like a yogurt, like I'm pretty ready to go. My coffee, my third coffee at this point. So I like to just hit the ground running. And it also kind of clears, like helps me have peace of mind to know what my schedule is going to look like and have kind of maybe handled this more stressful email or whatever. Like I call it eating the frog.
Right.
First hardest thing, like as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And then you can have more of a flow through the rest of your day. Mm-hmm. And also my days look so different. So sometimes it's like calls all day. Sometimes I have 3 events and I'm running around.
Right.
So having that time for an hour or two in the morning where I'm working at my computer is just works really well for me.
Okay. I like it just because I like to hear people's routines too and like how people structure things. So I like
What do you do between your workout and work?
Just like, I think you just eating breakfast, showering, getting ready. But I can't say that I could do that in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's where I'm really impressed. I'm like, wow, how can I cut down 15 minutes of my, you know, between the workout? And sometimes, like, I have a beautiful gym in my building. So mine's, like, just going up, you know, four floors.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy where, like, going home and, like, going to the workout is very fast unless I'm going to a class or something. But that's why I'm like, huh, it's probably a me thing. It's probably me. That's
I'm like also slow. The queen of like a slick back ponytail, which I think that not having, if I had to wash and dry my hair, it's another story.
Right,
I usually try to do that like at night twice
a really?
Week.
Okay. See, I mean, I feel like those are strategies, right? Because I'm like, how are you doing that? Because I would wash my hair in the morning.
Yeah.
So if it's like after tennis or something or after like SoulCycle, I will wash my hair and like dry it. So I'm like, I couldn't do all of that in 30 minutes. And so, okay, it kind of makes sense.
It's totally girl math too. Like, when am I going to do my hair? No, seriously. I think about this all the time. Like, okay, what workouts do I have in the next 3 days? What's going to be really sweaty?
That's what I think.
Yeah. Because I mean, a lot of times I'm not like dripping sweat.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm sweating like I need to wash my body, but I don't need to necessarily rewash my hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I try to keep it. I usually have like whatever day I have a blowout. Or do my own blowout is like the day that I have something the next morning that I want my hair done for.
Yes.
And then from there, it turns into like a slick for up to 4 days, pending.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which does save time.
Yeah. Oh, that's genius. Okay. I want to dive into your relationship and just like your personal relationships as a whole, because I feel like something you noted is, you know, having your partner, it sounds like they're, A, you guys have been together for a while, and B, it sounds like there's a lot of alignment in what you guys do, such as like lifestyle. You guys both go to the gym and you guys like are doing it together. Can you share, I guess, like rewind, how did you guys meet? I know you mentioned a little bit earlier at Equinox or like kind of in the wellness space.
Yeah. So he had just moved to LA at the same time that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, I think he had moved there a couple months prior. And he was a member at Equinox. So he wasn't in like working in the wellness space, but obviously I knew it was a priority for him because he was a member.
Yeah.
We actually didn't meet in Equinox. We just met through friends that like some of my friends were trainers and he knew them from just having moved there and trying to make friends too.
Yeah.
So we were doing, he had organized this rec volleyball league, which by the way, like I mentioned, I didn't do sports. I'm not very funny because of my career is like fitness related, but I'm not coordinated from a sports perspective.
Okay.
And he would like not want me to play on the rec team because I was so bad and he's so competitive. So that's like a funny aside.
That's
we still
so funny.
Joke about it. But we were friends. We met in a big group and I honestly we were friends for like a year and a half. We were never really one-on-one. We were just in this group and I was newly single. He was newly single. We were kind of like, I don't know if maybe he looked at it a little bit differently, but I was kind of like, I'm young, I'm having fun. He's a bit older.
Right.
And so then eventually about a year in, we like went to dinner. I thought it was just his friends. I got there and I was like, he thinks this is a date. I didn't realize this was a date.
Oh,
wow. But then after I was like, wow, I really feel like I learned more about him because we were one-on-one talking. And I was like, wow, we have a lot of similarities from like the way we look at life or families.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we like started dating.
Did you know very early on that you were going to end up with him?
This
is the ultimate question
here.
I ask every now married couple, and especially if they're within 5-10 years of age range, I always have to ask.
Yes. Okay. So this is actually really funny. Like the day after I had gone on this date that I didn't realize was a date, I called my best friend. And so we can always fact check this with love. And I was like, I know you're going to think I'm insane, but I'm going to marry him. And I just needed to tell you so that you can like vouch for it when it happens. So I.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
after the first date.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's I was huge. Like, this That's is going to be someone in my life. And I might have been, I was kind of being dramatic. Like, did I really know I was going to marry him? No. But I was like, this is like, I've never felt like so aligned with someone before.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like I did know early.
What was it in that time, if you can look back, like what was it that made you feel that way? Because I actually say this too, because I have a lot of girlfriends. I'm 26, but a lot of from college and friends of friends who are all in relationships or who have dabbled in relationships where they often say like they're just not sure. And I'm like, the thing is, I've heard a lot of good friends of mine, men who have said that they knew within 6 months if they were going to marry the girl. Mm-hmm. And then I was always wondering, is this also a thing for women, right? Like the level of intuition of like, oh, this is the
feels
one.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And so over time, I had another guest on, her name is Julianne, and she said the same thing. She's a founder. They went on their first date, and I think she was 23, he was 26, and they knew. And it's one of those things too that I love, and I assume this was probably your early 20s then, because mm-hmm. you're
21.
Wow.
Right. And 22, yeah. Maybe 22.
Yeah. And it's like you're young, where some people might push back and say, oh, like you're young, like you don't like know quite anything yet, right? And so I think I like that I'm hearing a relative common theme of in most cases, a lot of people actually know, and that uncertainty might be nudging you towards like a wake-up call. You know, but I am curious if that was the case for him as well, and kind of like also what made you kind of know, or where did that intuition come from?
Yeah, I mean, I think partially I dated someone for 4 years during college.
Okay.
And I mean, obviously I liked him at a time. Like right. We dated for a long time.
Right.
It's nothing against him, but right. I didn't ever feel like, first of all, you're so young then. But I also did not have a feeling where I was like, oh, I know. Like, it was always kind of like, we weren't planning for future.
Right.
I moved to LA still while we were like, I knew I was going to move to LA while we were still dating.
Okay.
And I wasn't really like feeling like, oh, he needs to come with.
Okay.
So like, that's kind of weird. Like, you would think you want to,
yes.
You wouldn't want to make that move without someone that you've been with for a long time.
Right.
So I think part of it's just past experience, kind of knowing like what didn't feel like it.
Right.
The other thing is that, I don't know. I think what did it for me was I just felt like I could be so myself.
Mm.
Like I wasn't kind of, you know, when you're trying to like act cool for
right,
a date or
right.
you're like thinking about what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I just wasn't doing that at all. And it wasn't even on purpose. But then I like, when I was reflecting that night, I was like, wow, I like was 4 hours, felt like 1 hour. Like
wow.
We talked about everything.
Yeah.
He also is 8 years older than me. So mm-hmm. I think at that point, especially when I was younger, I was like, he's opening my eyes to like, so many cool things that are coming in life and like
right.
opportunity. And for example, I was like, I want to start a business in like 5 years. And he's like, 5 years, like,
right.
why don't you do it now? And like,
yeah.
no one had ever said something like that to me before. So kind of like he had confidence in me.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I want to be able to see myself like through his lens,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So I think at first that was definitely like, whether I knew it was going to be like my husband or just someone that I was like, wow, I've never felt like this because I've never had this type of connection with someone before. Like
yeah.
I felt that right away. And I would never want to tell someone like break up with your boyfriend, but
totally.
I think when you're questioning, especially if you're out loud questioning to your friends,
mm-hmm.
like when we ask for advice, we usually already know the answer.
Yes.
So I think like that's what I tell my friends. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. But,
like,
when you're not sure,
mm-hmm.
you probably already know the answer.
Yeah.
It should be a hell yes.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with you. Did he ever tell you a story of, like, a time in the beginning when he also knew that about you as well?
I mean, now he's like, it was love at first sight. I knew since I saw you in the office. Because I had, like, these glass offices at Equinox.
Yeah.
And he's like, I, like, knew you. I saw you right away. And so I don't know, like, his exact moment.
Yeah.
But I think his must have been earlier than mine because he, like, wanted to go.
Okay.
On the date. And then the thing is, we'd been friends for a year. Basically, like, the first time I slept over, I always joke, I'm like, I slept over and, like, never moved back out. Like,
right.
We were, like, basically living together from, like, the first time we ever really started hanging out. So
yeah.
it kind of moved quick in, like, a relationship sense. But
right.
I think that's because we'd already known each other pretty well for,
yeah.
like, a bit of time.
Yeah. Do you think because at such a young age you wanted to, like, you had aspirations like building a business and like having these things in your life, do you think that attributed to you being more grounded in knowing almost like what would be aligned for you at that age? Because like some people would be like, oh wow, 21 or 22 is really young, but then I think about like the average 21 or 22 year old girl is not being like, I want to start this kind of business in 5 years, right? Or having that conversation. And so I feel like your level of thinking is probably a little bit different at that stage of life and then would probably enable you to be in a more mature relationship that is like, okay, long term and like alignment and like, what are your values? Like, what's your lifestyle? Like, do we, you know what I mean? Like, you're actually seeing it through that lens versus, I don't know, indulging in LA lifestyle, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think partially I was like a big party girl late high school, early college.
Okay, same.
So I think that I really had gotten a lot of that out of my system in terms of, and then when I first moved to LA, like did the club scene, like of course,
totally.
Had to have fun. I was newly 21, but I think I was I that was not like at this by this time when we started hanging out, it was not like my priority anymore. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, I never really thought about it the way that you just phrased it, but mm-hmm. I've always been like an old soul, loved hanging out with like yeah. the parents and their right. friends. Like,
right.
I love to have, I don't like small talk. I want to have like a real conversation. So I think that it, and also he thought I was 27 and I was literally 22.
Oh, wow.
So I think partially like that's okay. that we were able, it didn't feel like we had this age difference or totally. Something. I totally. Mean, I think. It's not, like, a crazy difference
yeah,
either.
Yeah.
But when you're in your early 20s, like, it feels – it's like when you're dating, like, the boy that's not in college anymore. Yeah. When you're in college and you feel like you're, like, so crazy.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think I also – I'm really lucky to have a great family. And mm-hmm. I knew, like, it was really – not that people can choose their family, but it was right. important to me to have, like, a similar family dynamic
yeah.
with my partner's family. Mm. And I could tell early from just the way he would, like, talk about them – that there was gonna be that. So I think that also just made it feel more like homey yeah. right away.
Yeah. Wow. Do you ever share, so I think like almost speaking from like an older sister lens, do you ever share insights on like those things that you observed in the early days of dating to like girlfriends of yours or friends of friends when it comes to navigating what actually could be a good long-term fit? Because I feel like you kind of nailed it pretty early on. And not to say, like, it's an easy road, right? But just more of, like, understanding, like you said right there, you were aware that you wanted that in your partner, like, that dynamic with his family, right? Like, the future in-laws. And so what are some things you feel like some people, like, girls who are maybe in their mid-20s right now are, like, not actually thinking about when it comes to the dating process?
First of all, something I see a lot with single friends.
Yeah.
And, again, I can't, like, I, exactly. It's kind of like, I feel like people are like, F you when you give advice. Cause
right.
it's like, I have been like with the same person from a young, kind of a young age.
Yeah.
But I also think what I see a lot is people will be dating, like, you know, going on dates and yeah. not, maybe not finding the exact right person, or maybe they're talking to like a couple people mm-hmm. for like a few weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I see a lot of my friends do is compare the two people to each other,
okay.
which makes sense. It's like right. human nature. Like,
right.
it's like if you're trying on shoes and you're trying to pick one, like,
yeah.
which I like this about this one. I like this about yeah. that pair. But ultimately, I'm always like, you need to compare it to like what you want, not to another person.
Right.
Because these two people mm. could both be great people and they could both have some good qualities, some that you're like, eh, about.
Yeah.
But like, how many of them align with what you want right. and not just like, okay, this is better than the last guy I dated. Mm. Or like the last guy I dated, you know, would always go and hold the door open. And this guy's like kind of aloof and not thinking about that. Mm. And like, is that important to you?
Right.
You know, maybe like, yeah, of course you want someone to hold the door open for you. But at the yeah. same time, like, is that like a deal breaker? And
right.
maybe it is,
right.
but maybe it's not. And I think sometimes you get caught up in these like tiny details.
Yes.
But it's really like, how are you feeling? Like, does this right. person make you feel good? Do you feel like yourself? Do you want to spend time with them?
Mm.
And I also think like the further you get into dating, mm-hmm. especially the older you get, I assume there's like this back of your mind, okay, well, I want this person to be the one, you know?
Right, right.
But I think the sooner you can like say no when it's not the right fit, yes. the better, you
yes.
know? Keep
yes.
it moving.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I've shared this on the podcast before. I can't recall in the past 5 years I've ever said yes to a second date that I was unsure of on the first. Like, you know, after the first
date. I did
date,
once and I wished I wasn't there the whole time. And he's a great guy. It was
right,
a great guy.
Right,
but
right.
I knew I didn't like him
totally,
like that.
Totally.
And the whole time on the second date, I'm like, why did I say yes to this?
Right.
I didn't want to go.
Right.
And it's awkward now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes, too, it's a level of having respect for that person.
Exactly.
To not waste their time and waste their money and energy and vice versa, right, for myself. And so I think that's something I think about, too, is like, I mean, now I'm in a relationship. But prior to that, when I was single and like dating here in New York, I think that's a difference I noticed for myself is I didn't keep going or entertaining someone that I was like, yeah, he was great and he's a nice guy. But it's kind of like in sororities, I was in a sorority as well. During rush, right? You're not like if all you can say about the person that they're just nice, it's kind of not enough information about them to really be like, oh, there's a aligned value or aligned like vibe, you know, or like you need to know more about their story. Cause I kind of think that everyone in general is nice, you know?
Right.
You know what
especially
I mean?
Especially on a date, hopefully yes. they're like putting a good foot forward, yes. you know?
Yeah. No, that's fascinating that you noticed that in girls. Like anything else with relationships that you would say, or like one piece of advice, so to speak, and on, you know, kind of looking at dating and relationships in a more intentional process.
Well, I like what you just said about having kind of knowing, like, did you get a good idea of their morals or kind of more about them? And I think part of that too is like, I think there's a lot of, I know that a lot of people follow rules about what you can what you talk about on a first date, you know, when do you say certain things? Yeah. When do you talk about work even on a first date? And I think for everyone, the conversation should be different because everybody has different wants out of a partner, out of a relationship, out of like, you know, some people might want kids, some people might not.
Right.
I, for example, I knew I wanted kids. I would talk about that with guys on the first date. Like, not that I wanted them soon, but if you don't want kids, it's I don't want to marry you. Like, it's not going to be work
long-term. And it would be like a waste of time to go on another date because then it's like, okay, if we already want different things, why are we even doing this?
Exactly. Right? So I think that to your point, it's like kind of no what you want to ask and go. I also was in a sorority and I think recruitment's like a great, it's great practice for interviews, for dates.
It is.
Like kind of know what you want and don't be afraid to bring it up. And also if you're really feeling uncomfortable to bring those topics up, that might also be something to pay attention to.
Like,
I from my experience with the right people, it's not uncomfortable. It's like natural to be talking about that. And I also think, you know, sometimes it could be just timing. Like you might be talking to someone that doesn't want anything serious now. That doesn't mean that down the road they might not have been a great fit, but like timing is everything. You got to find people at the right, we're going to cross paths with people at the right time.
Right.
And when it feels right, you'll know. Doesn't mean you could never come back to that person again. And it maybe it will work out 10 years later, but most likely, like, you know, it's kind of sad sometimes when you like someone and it's not the right time, but you'll figure it out if you let yourself keep moving through the process.
What's your personal approach to creating time for both your girlfriends, your partner, and for yourself, speaking on like self-care and productivity wellness?
It's so hard.
Yeah.
Like that is really, I'd say my social life especially is like what I struggle with the most to keep up with, especially because for my job, so much, especially in New York, is like events out and things that feel very social but are technically work.
Right.
So I feel like my social bucket is full and I'm like, I'm an introvert. So it's like, I'm kind of at the limit a lot of times after three events that week or whatever. But at the same time, I'm like, I do need to make time to see my friends that aren't related to work. I think like seeing my partner, we live together, we both work from home, we're together a lot, so that like we do have to focus on quality time because it's not always intentional, but so we put aside some time to do that at least like once a week. We're like, okay, let's just get dinner, or like even if we're at home, like just not be on our phones and like actually watch a show. But that, so that bucket I think is pretty good. Time for myself, like my routines really help me hold that. Social time with my girlfriends is something that I'm like always trying to be intentional about. But I think there's so, like a lot of times we'll do like a Pilates class or, you know, get coffee on the weekend. Like it doesn't always have to be a big dinner or a night out. And then I also like my best friend here, we literally every day just text each other all caps ILY, like it's just like our thing. And like, we don't even necessarily say anything else, but it's like, we both will do it and like reply. And so that's like a nice, like little things like that, where you're like, I still feel connected to you. Even if like, we haven't really talked about anything in like 2 weeks, like I'm thinking of you. Having those moments, I think for my friends is like very important to me, that I'm able to check in because things get so crazy. We all have a lot going on, you know?
Yeah. Are there any other like daily or weekly habits that you do in your personal life that helps you? Again, I don't like the word balance either, but helps you very much keep yourself in check and aligned with your personal goals and like your vision, and then also like how you spend time with, you know, your girlfriends as well as your partner?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Or any habit that like you implemented over the past, you know, few years that like really changed the game for you, that it, you know, it could have been like the 5 a.m. wake up or anything like that, that was like, oh, this was the game changer.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the two things would be waking up early.
Okay.
Because you just are, at least for me, I mean, I know some people are like, I just am up all night. That's when I get my stuff done.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times we're like, if we really admit it to ourselves, at night you start to spiral because it's like, day's been long. Right. You're trying to unwind. You're probably like binging stuff on your phone. And like, there's nothing, we all do it. There's something wrong with that sometimes. But I think in the morning, when you come into things before people are up, before there's anything going on, like you do get this time to just think. And it's hard to find time to think. So that has made a big difference for me. Also, it's like now, again, my routine's not as crazy as it used to be, but just being up gives me the chance to like take some time to myself, whatever that might look like. The other thing is Google Calendar. Like
I love blocking time off, even
if it's not like a real meeting, just being like, okay, I have 2 uninterrupted hours where like I need to get X, Y, Z done. And then also like, it's maybe people are kind of annoyed, but it's like a friend date. Like I send a calendar invite. It's like, I'm going to treat it like something very serious. Yeah. If it's like I made a blocked off time and we both committed.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's like, let's get coffee this weekend. I feel like you kind of text back and forth. It never really happens. But if I have like a time that I set, I will respect that. So, I think like schedule, like actually being serious about your social life as a schedule makes a big difference.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I do the same thing. Obviously I have to send invites for like podcast recording or, you know, like dinner with friends. I mean, sometimes I'm not sending them the invite, but I will put it in my calendar.
At least
at the minimum, it's in my calendar. Yeah. It's blocked off. I visually see it. And yeah, it's interesting how I think there's a lot of correlation with high performers and what they're doing, like the small daily or weekly habits. And I feel like a lot of people are always wondering, well, how do they make time or how do they do this? And you just, all you got to do is like look at those habits.
Another thing is like time auditing. So for example, if it's somebody that's looking to start to implement these habits, you could just start to schedule out your day as it already is into a calendar. And then at the end of the week, look back and be like, what did I spend my time doing? And is that where I want to be spending my time?
Yeah.
Or was there a block of time where I wanted to do this and then I ended up getting distracted? And again, it's all like we learn. It all it changes week over week. But I think knowing where you're spending your time is a good start. Cause I think that's part of why everything on the app is under 20 minutes. Because people's biggest excuse is they don't have enough time.
Right.
And we're here to tell you, like you do, but let's look where we could fit things in.
Yeah.
And it will involve shifting your schedule. Like, the way you have your time laid out now, you might not.
Yeah.
But we could probably, you know, consolidate certain things or eliminate certain things. And it doesn't need to be a lot of time.
Yeah.
Just like taking control over what you're doing during the day.
Okay. Well, last question before we dive into where everyone can find Cacti Wellness and follow you. In reflecting on your life and your journey and your career and your personal relationships, what would you say ultimately fulfills you?
Ugh, I should have known this was coming.
Everyone always says that.
I think I would say connection, like human connection. And especially I have a very close circle. I'm an introvert. I keep it small.
Yeah.
But having like those really great, strong relationships where you feel like it's mutual respect. You both understand each other. That's like the most, ultimately, if I have that, I can like be happy in other areas. But like that meaningful, true connection with people.
My answer is the exact same.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I feel like it's always about people and connections and relationships. I think, especially for me, when I went through my college breakup when I was 20, and I didn't have a tight group of girlfriends at the time, I realized like I had everything. I had a small business at the time. I was making really good money for a 20-year-old and I still felt really unfulfilled, unhappy. And I was like, wow, it's like that lack of community and connection that is like making, like not letting me, you know, experience everything to the fullest. So
I agree. And I mean, like with things like this, it's like you're able to find like-minded community. But sometimes we do. It's not necessarily where our situational community. So I think that's the other thing. Like, if you don't have those people in your life, you can find it. But it's it takes work and you have to be, like, willing to put yourself out there.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, thank you, Kira, for joining me on the podcast. Where can everyone find you, Cacti Wellness, where they can try it out? Share everything.
Yeah. Okay. So my Instagram's Kira Jones, K-I-R-A Jones. That has links out to everything. Cacti Wellness, Instagram, Cacti Wellness. And then cactiwellness.com. You can sign up for the app. We would love to have you guys. I can give you a code too.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we'll give like a free month to anyone that wants to try it out.
Perfect. Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that was all for today's episode with Kira Jones, founder of Cacti Wellness. You guys can find her on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Her links are in the show notes. And for those of you who are curious to try Cacti Wellness, the app, you can try it with the promo code, which will be linked in the show notes, and you can try Cacti Wellness for 1 month free. For all What Fulfills You merch, including the best-selling card game, the journal, and hoodie, and more, you can find that on the website at whatfulfillsyou.com. And for listeners only, you can get 10% off with the code WhatFulfillsYou10 at checkout. Again, that's WhatFulfillsYou10 at checkout at whatfulfillsyou.com. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.